Okay. I'm sorry. I'm over here getting my groove on. And that's not a real trumpet that you hear. Bravo. Bravo. Mr. Tommy Davidson.
Morning.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Tommy Davidson. Oh, I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Shypedia Podcast. I'm your host, Marsha, and I have a talented...
Two names.
Yeah. Well, you know, usually you hear Marsha, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to
drop one.
Yeah. Marsha two times.
Okay. I'll take it.
You know.
I'll take it.
You know, I'm the black Marsha.
Right.
So I had to change it up a little bit.
Marsha.
That's right.
Yeah.
Marsha squared.
Yeah.
Yeah. So welcome to the show.
Chicago. That was creative.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never had a nickname, so hell, let's just add another name.
Well, go ahead.
You know?
Do what you need to do.
Hello.
Do what you need to do
to
be you.
Shout out to my producer for that track right there, Cam Jokes. And I want to...
It's a nice track.
Yeah, thank you. He did his thing on that one. Welcome to Chicago and welcome to Shypedia Podcast.
Thank
Chicago
you.
Media for the people.
I kind of got that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Shypedia.
Chicago Media for the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're smart.
I got that.
You know what? You're as smart as you look, Tommy.
Oh, I look smart. Okay.
I'll take that.
No, you're right, though.
I am.
Yeah, I worked on that.
You worked on it?
Yeah, you know, got the glasses.
Yeah.
You have
the button-up sweater.
Right, let a little gray in.
Yes, I see.
Let that happen. Mm-hmm. You know.
Maybe a little floral on the tie there.
Yeah, a little floral on the tie.
Uh-huh. I see a little bling around your wrist.
A little something, yeah. Got a little silver thing happening here and then a little thing.
Oh, wow, it's two.
A little something. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Don't go too hard on that, you know. Because I have I have my African brothers working in alluvial diamond fields in Africa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the alluvial diamond fields are when diamonds, you don't got to dig them out of the mines; they're just in the ground, and so they crawl on their knees with a can around their neck. I think they get $7 a day or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
To crawl and get the diamonds and put them in a can.
Wow.
Alluvial diamond fields is what they're called.
That labor, though. Oh, my gosh.
Right. So, I mean, I enjoy them to a point, you know, but knowing where they come from,
yeah.
I don't go to excess
yes.
with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well.
And I don't covet them.
Yeah.
Either.
I definitely have to get a nice shot of that before you leave.
What, the alluvial?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you like it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Looks good.
There's jewelry fans out there.
Uh-huh. Now, speaking of, you know, as I mentioned...
Did you get it?
I got it. Let's okay. see. You know, there it is.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, you know, man, you haven't aged a bit.
People say that. I like that. It's a big compliment.
It's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
I guess it goes back to the saying.
Yeah. Black don't crack. Hey!
Hey!
Jinx.
That's right.
Jinx.
So here we are at the end of 2018. It's almost a new year, 2019. Lord have mercy. I mean, who would have ever thought we'd be here today, almost at 2019? This brother I watched growing up. I'm talking about you.
Okay.
Yes, you. You know, you made my child. You were part of my childhood. You know, I was fortunate enough to grow up in an era where kids played outside. I told Sean Wayans the same story. He came in a few months back. But I was fortunate enough to be a part of that era. I was always outside playing. We didn't have much to watch on television. We had a few things. We had Bill Cosby, right. You know, but we enjoyed being out. However, when they said that In Living Color was coming out,
everybody went in the house.
Oh, honey, everybody went inside.
Go in the house.
That is it. That is it. So I want to thank you for making my childhood memories even better.
Thank you. There's nothing to it. Nothing to it at all.
Nothing to it at all.
Nothing to it at all.
You know, even though every time I think of your name, all I see, a vision pops up in my mind is of you naked with some Speedos on.
Okay, okay.
And some dress shoes.
Okay, okay. Now that's scary.
Yeah.
Is that all you remember, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why.
A healthy little girl.
No. No.
Yeah, that was that ended up being one of the biggest things for me.
Why so?
Because it was so funny. It was so funny. It was so funny. Just the idea that this guy goes in his massage parlor expecting to meet some chick. And he did meet a chick, but she happened to look like a sea donkey. And so, you know, here's his whole adventure being turned upside down. Ends up that this thing tries to pull these Speedos off of him, and you're running around the massage table, and it turned out to be as classic as any comedy in the history of TV.
Yes. Okay. So, of course, you know, we was running around what was her name?
Wanda?
Wanda.
Yeah. Shanaynay, I believe, was with Shanaynay Martin. Martin. Yeah.
Martin. Yeah. Yeah. And so you have a bit of history with Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We did the Varnell Hill Show. Those two episodes.
You used to live in the same building with Martin, too.
We lived in the same building.
Come on.
Yeah, we did. He followed me around.
Uh-huh.
Like, I moved to another apartment. He moved to that apartment, you know. I was cutting it. I was a leader in that way.
Okay.
You know, I always was venturing out, and him and I ended up in L.A. this around the same time.
Okay.
And kind of grew from that point on. So he went on to his movie career and his TV career, and same here. It's a good story.
I love how a lot of the black comedians, everyone is connected. It's like full circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I love how, you know, everyone's...
It's kind of like the slave ship Amistad. Go ahead.
Anyway. Yeah, I guess so. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, everyone's connected. You know, like Robert Townsend, he had a lot to do with a lot of people.
Me.
Right.
Robert's the first one to put me on TV.
Wow.
Yeah, I just saw Robert in Harlem. He just did a screening of his documentary for the Five Heartbeats.
Yes.
It's excellent.
Yes, I have to check that out.
It's excellent.
Mm-hmm. It's unreal, though, of how a lot of these shows, like In Living Color, you know, people keep raving about wanting it to come back. Reboots.
I'd like to see that happen. I mean, because it's really funny. It's really, really, really funny. A lot of stuff on YouTube.
No, the thing is, and I give you that, it was really funny. But could you make it the same way? Will it be the same feel if you brought it back?
Yeah. I think
times
no one's
have changed.
Doing it.
Times
no
one's have doing changed, it. And to cater to this generation today.
Oh,
you have much to jokes for to keep the kids.
Yeah,
today,
we
huh?
got some stuff to do.
Okay.
We got some stuff to do. If the barometer is Nick Cannon's show, then it's a little confusing.
Okay,
but that's a different kind of show. You know, they're like doing. Joning and rapping and kind of this thing together.
Yes.
Which is cool. Mm-hmm. It's a very cool thing, but it's different than what we did. We take what's going on now and put it in a garbage disposal. We light it on fire, put it in a garbage disposal, take the little pieces that's left, right? Scatter them off a roof. You know, put a magnifying glass over those.
Uh-huh.
Pick through them one at a time, then put them in the frying pan. We go hard.
So any memories that stick out, you know, with doing In Living Color, like when you were first approached, actually, let me step back a second. When you were first approached about In Living Color, were you approached or you just, how did you hear about it?
I heard about it because everybody heard about it. This is a show coming.
Really?
It's a variety show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You should be a part of it. And I actually passed on the show. I didn't want to do it because I had gone through all this little pain of auditioning for all this stuff. And there was a lot of big things that I thought was going to happen didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I'm not messing with that. I'm going back to doing stand-up because it's safe for me. Let me just build my act. And then what happened was agent of mine asked me just to go and audition, try it. I went and auditioned, did, I thought, really bad. But they had an audition for stand-up comedians.
Mm-hmm.
30 stand-up comedians. And I was number 30th that night.
Wow.
And I was able to hit a nice homer over the wall. And Kenan chose me for the show, and the rest is history.
Mm, mm, mm. Well, I say that you were a part. You were a good addition. He had a good variety.
I like
mean,
that. A good addition. I that mean, reminds me of like a song.
Go ahead.
A little bit of love is all it takes. A little bit of love goes a long, long way. A little bit of love is all it takes. A little bit of love is lovely.
Oh, man. And so, speaking of, you have some of the best impersonations, Sammy Davis Jr.
Thank you. I'll do that for you only because you have your apparatus pointed at me. And that's where I do my best stuff, my best, I would say shtick, but blacks aren't very familiar with that term. I would say something else, but I know that this isn't, closed caption radio or whatever you want to say. I don't know. I'm new at all this.
I, you know what? You're too much for me. I don't know what to say, Tommy. You're too much for
I
me.
I made it. I made it here.
You made it here.
To Chicago.
Yeah.
Happy about my shows. Who could be luckier than working at making people laugh during the holidays?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going to be at the Chicago Improv.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there tonight.
Okay.
Tomorrow. Tonight, 8 and 10. Tomorrow, 8 and 10. And happy to be here. This is the best way for me to actually end the year comedy-wise.
Okay.
Is at a club that I'm familiar with. A good audience. Mm-hmm. Chicago's always, always good for me.
Yeah.
And I go from here to Baltimore, which is my hometown. Mm-hmm. Well, D.C. is, but Baltimore's close. It's my hometown. And so to have that at the year end,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's my Christmas present right there.
So how are we going to, you know, what are we going to leave this audience with when you step off of stage?
With a good feeling, like I always do. You know, I'm able to really make my audiences feel good. That's the best part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of it. And what I like to what I'd like to leave for people is a feeling of optimism, joy, and happiness
mm-hmm.
in this society, in our society, that isn't really promoting that.
Yeah.
These days, it's promoting like yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm like I got Instagram, I got this,
yeah.
I got this going on. It is magnifying a lot of violence, magnifying a lot of greed.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Magnifying
it is.
A lot of dissension.
Right.
And gossip. And confusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's magnifying a lot of that.
Yes. You know? Yes,
if you look at Kanye and Jim Brown at the White House, that just goes to show you that, you know, that it's just fool's time. But white businessmen ain't no fools.
Nope.
They know how to cause, you know, distractions so that they can go and steal money.
Mm.
I'm putting it simple.
Okay. And I'm glad that you brought that up about Kanye West and Jim Brown. It's so weird because I was just thinking about that earlier. How did they get together? Where did Jim Brown come from?
Well, Jim Brown's always been an activist for us. Jim Brown's always been very positive in influencing us positively.
But to make that move, though, you know.
Why not? I mean, you know, Jim's a good guy. Jim's later in his years.
Mm-hmm.
Is not as physically strong as he's been in the past.
Yes.
And he's not surrounded by a whole lot of black people that share the same principle
right.
as he does. That seems to be a thing of the past. You know, how we were so self-determined and mm-hmm. so strong and we're still strong. We're even stronger.
Yeah.
That it's proven through former President Obama's influence on the entire world.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the main reasons why the Trump campaign and the Republicans in general, their main campaign is to stamp out the memory of African Americans in the White House and our influence on the world, which they can't do.
No,
but they can try their hardest.
Of course not.
It's too late. You know, the person that was brought here in chains and that you kicked in the behind and you raped just ran the place better than you. And he's just one of millions.
Wow. Now, did you watch the Bush funeral?
I did not.
You didn't catch it.
I didn't catch it. Tell me about that.
You know, I mean, it was a little interest. It was interesting.
Tell me. Because
with the Obama sitting there.
Okay.
You had the Clintons. Mm-hmm. And then so the camera was focused on them while, you know, people were still coming in. Mm-hmm. And just reading the body language, everyone just, they were cool at first. But then Trump came in and sat down. And I don't know. You know what? I noticed you're not on social media as much. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, I kind of dropped out a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. October, man. What's up, man?
Yeah. How did you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm a lightweight star.
No, but how did you know though? Like, what? How does it? What's the sign? I just hadn't posted anything or something.
Yeah, you haven't posted since October. Since October. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll post something.
Yeah, today.
All right, maybe I'll post something.
Okay.
All right.
Yay! Thanks. That's because of me, you guys. Marcia did it. But getting back, Trump came and sat down. And he, you know, before he did, he shook Barack's hand. And then actually Michelle, she shook his hand, but she kind of gave him the mug. You know, the body, it was just so awkward. The whole thing was, oh, my God.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. I mean, it's difficult to be in physical proximity with someone who hates you.
Yeah. Yes.
With someone who despises you. It's hard to be within proximity.
Have you ever felt that?
I'm black.
That was the wrong question.
Yeah, I'm black. That's what we feel.
Is it?
That's part of our deal.
I know.
Is to be around people
who despise us. Do you play it off or what do you do?
I keep it moving, but I'm sensitive, so sometimes I'll pick up on it. You know, sometimes I'll pick up on it, but...
You're sensitive. What's your sign?
Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
Yeah. She said, okay. Yeah, I'm sensitive to it. I may be a little bit more sensitive than other black people because I have an all-white family. Mm-hmm. So I can see two sides of people when I see them. And I'm actually more aware... I'm more aware of racism because I have a white family and because I've seen that other side so much that I can actually tell on a more subconscious level when it's going on.
Yeah. Now, was it a bad experience or a good experience?
It was a mix.
Okay.
It was a bad experience that has turned into a good experience.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good experiences that. It's also good experiences that make me realize how good those experiences were for me and are for the world because now I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm arrived and I can communicate a lot better.
Yeah.
I have a book coming out called Tommy Davidson Living in Color, which is about me, you know, being abandoned as an infant and all the things I went through growing up in Washington, D.C. and in Maryland and my trek to Hollywood and my, you know, dealings with people and human beings and my findings. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
And so, of course, I would look forward to reading this book because I do have questions. I did read about you, you know, you were abandoned when you were a baby. And it was unfortunate circumstances. But thank God that you were found. Mm-hmm. And the family that found you adopted you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing. That turned out to be my mother's greatest accomplishment.
Wow.
Her greatest accomplishment. You know, she said, this little black boy going to be somebody.
Mm.
He's going to be something. And he's going to be something of worth. You know, not money worth, of worth.
Yeah.
Worth.
So when a story was first told to you, how old were you?
Story of?
Of your childhood.
I was actually in my 30s.
Oh, really?
I was actually in my 30s because I never really knew how it all went down. Mm-hmm. And she had not really told me the truth. You know, she had told me that, you know, my mother was a hero and all this other stuff. But that, she was just trying to make sure that I didn't have ill feelings about what happened. So when I finally was told what happened, it bothered me a bit. But then again, it made sense how my life went and how I was as a person, because I never really knew that.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, it was a revelation. I actually ended up meeting my real mom.
Really?
As well.
Now, how did you find her? Or she found
my
you?
My mother, who raised me, worked at Housing and Urban Development, HUD, the National Agency on Housing, the government agency.
Yeah.
On,
uh-huh.
And she saw her name and, you know, thought it maybe might be her and called her. And it was her.
So she just saw the name.
Uh-huh.
It was like intuition, like, you know, this might be his mother.
Yeah. Yeah. She knew her and met her before.
Okay.
Years before. So she saw the name come up and was like, that's a coincidence. Let me call her. Then she called me and said, you want to meet her? And I wasn't sure I did. But I did anyway.
Okay.
And I'm glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
I just actually saw her again. In my hometown.
That's wonderful.
A couple of months ago.
That's wonderful. And how has that relationship been? I mean, by her hearing from you and knowing that you survived.
Weird. Weird. I mean, she's just like anybody else.
She was young,
right? That I would meet down here at the corner. I mean, uh-huh. I don't know her in that way as a person. You know, she happened to be the person that gave birth to me.
Right.
There's plenty of other family there, brothers and sisters and stuff. And there's the genetic connection, but there's no real personal connection there.
Yeah.
You know, but what it did for me was I was able to forgive her for what happened, you know, and move on with my life. And that's important. That's important.
Yes. It's very important.
Very important. You know, I had a lot of problems that came out of that disassociation with my family and growing up, not knowing, and growing up in a white world, black world, all of that stuff that I went through that wasn't really normal for other kids, you know, except for those who have the circumstance like me. So my circumstance isn't unique in itself. And I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad I'm able to write a book,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay, so when is
this? Never thought I'd do that.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to. Always wanted to write a book. And this is just one, God willing, of many books to come.
Wow. Yes. Okay. So when is this going to be released?
I think it's supposed to be in April, but I'm trying to push for next December.
Mm.
I'd like it to be Christmas present for people.
Okay.
Yeah. I want it to be in the fourth.
Well, it's a present for us this year to know that we have something to look forward to next year.
How optimistic you are.
I'm telling you.
I love it.
I'm all about positivity.
Well, I know. I see that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, so what else should we be on the lookout for Mr. Tommy Davidson?
Movies. You know, now it's time. You know, I did a show called Vacation Creation for the last 3 years.
And uh-huh.
was traveling the world on cruise ships, taking families around, doing some really good stuff for deserving families. And now it's time to do some good stuff for me.
Oh.
And which means others.
Yes.
You know, to start to dive back into the TV world, dive back into the movie world.
What made you step back and take a little break from that?
It was a great job. It's a great job that came my way.
Yeah.
And I took it and went around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed me. Changed me.
That's probably some good advice for anyone to get out and experience the world. Because it is life-changing.
Yeah, especially black folks.
Yeah.
You got to get out there. You know, this is like a big old plantation. You know, they're so used. White America is so used to us being here.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, and the way that we're treated. And I'm not talking about racism at this point. I'm talking about business.
Mm.
Business.
Mm.
Like, we're the only group here.
Yeah.
That's not really encouraged to do business with
entrepreneurs,
to do business with America.
Okay.
Yeah. People who are from other countries do business with America. So they give them the loans for stores.
Gas stations.
Gas stations. They give them the loans for, because they're in a partner. They when you do that, you're in a partnership. I guess what I'm really saying is that banks aren't willing to be in partnership with us. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's exactly what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. Banks don't want to be in partnership with us. Hmm. They're willing to be in partnership with any other group, mm-hmm. but us. Hmm. Why that is, I don't know.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question.
Why that is, I know. Well, the reason why. Why that is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got some ideas about it, but it's interesting to me that they won't do business with us, but we're the ones that they won't do business with us, but we're the reasons why they can even do business with the world, because we're the ones that made this a profit.
Exactly.
We're the ones that put this country into profit.
Right. They're profiting.
We put
off
this
of us.
Yes. We exclusively exclusively put this country into profit.
Yeah. You know, I told you before that I was from Gary, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at a community like that, that was once booming because of the steel mills. And, mm-hmm. you know, of course, that was the hometown of Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. And the Jackson Five.
We know that you have a great
Michael. The Jackson Five.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, when you look at a town like that and there's not much there, the buildings are just all mostly abandoned. If you look at the downtown area or the gas stations, we don't own. Heck, you have the local restaurants. You don't see any black owners of them, you know. And if you do have any businesses that's owned by us, they don't last long.
Right.
This is an ongoing thing, especially in those black communities.
Right. But there are black businesses out there that are lasting long, and yeah. they are flourishing, mm-hmm. and will continue to flourish. And even though that's been the resistance up to this point, has no bearing on what we're going to do and what we're going to keep on doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we are. We're going to keep on growing. We're going to keep on doing business with the world. And eventually, we're going to connect.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to connect Africa's business with the world. We're going to connect Africa's, our continent. We're going to connect our continent.
Let's keep putting it out there. Keep putting it in people's minds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. We're going to connect our continent with us,
uh-huh.
and Africans worldwide. And we're going to have African commerce worldwide, just like there's Chinese commerce worldwide, or European commerce worldwide. It's just inevitable, and that's one of the things that I think is a fear of Europe, is that the people that built their global economy are going to have a global economy of their own, but they can't stop it.
Mm.
They can't stop it because they actually come from an African global economy that preceded them.
Yes. That's right. All right. You said it. Before we move on, before I let you get out of here anyhow, you know, right now, I know you're not on an Instagram thing like that, but we have this whole King of R&B thing going on. And
who's the King of R&B? Me?
A lot of comedians.
Am I the King of R&B?
A lot of comedians has been chiming in on this.
Okay. You want me to chime? I'll chime.
Yeah, because you an OG.
Okay, so I'll chime.
So you should know.
I'll chime.
Yeah. So as you know, Jacquees, or whatever his name is, Jacquees.
Who's Jacquees?
He's a R&B singer now.
Okay. He probably hot.
Generation.
He probably hot.
He's hot now.
I bet you he's bad.
Saying that he is the king of R&B of right now. So now he has all the R&B artists in the uproar, and you know. So who was one of your who do you say is the king of R&B?
Like right for the singers now?
Overall,
Sam Cooke.
Oh, okay. You went there.
He created it. He created R&B because he created R&B because blacks listen to gospel. That's it. They listen to gospel on the radio. There was a couple of artists, Nat King Cole and a couple of artists that did TV and stuff like that. But, you know, basically, you know, blues and that the other forms of stuff were in the juke joints back in the woods and stuff like that. And church was the place where we went for our music. And
we have to do our history lesson.
And rock and roll was kind of developing. But rock and roll is a black art form. Rock and roll is actually an outgrowth of the jazz and the blues. And then it's a root that spurred both R&B on two different branches. The R&B branch was a rhythm and blues movement that came out of the church and went non-secular. So Sam took the things we were doing in church and put non-secular lyrics with them, along with some touch that was going on at the time.
Give me a line.
One of his was and all I heard them singing do 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 ah do 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 ah do do. That's the sound of the man who working on the chains at gang boom. Sound of the man who working on the chain gang and saying you know, that's his thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and also ballads. So he brought these ballads, and the ballads crossed over to white listeners. And it was the first time that a black voice was heard on white radio.
Crossover.
You see? And so You Send Me, you know, was a great, and Sam is ironically right here out of Chicago.
Yes, that's right.
Right out of Chicago. And so yeah, I think Sam is the greatest R&B singer because he's, first of all, he started R&B. Second of all, he had his own label. He had a Ferrari in 63.
Rest in peace, unfortunately.
Yeah, he had a Ferrari in 63.
Yes, you know? Yes.
He was doing his thing. A great businessman and a great sexy singer and a sexy lead. And everybody took from him. Everybody modeled after him. From that point on, there wouldn't be no Usher and Michael Jackson and all these people if it wasn't for Sam
Cooke
crossing it over. Rock and roll was there. You had Little Richard, Chuck Berry, and that whole movement, like I said. Mm-hmm. But that goes off into a whole nother branch. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of our singers, Prince, and were influenced by that part of it. But they were also influenced by Sam. And they wouldn't have had a platform.
Nope.
To do it if it wasn't for Sam.
That's right.
Because Sam basically created black radio because of that.
Mm. That's right. That's right.
Along with the DJs, you know, and DJs like Casey Kasem and people who really contributed, and Dick Clark, who came in and had the courage to let black singers onto their tours and onto their TV shows and stuff like that. But Sam was one of the ones who was like, I'm not going to perform unless blacks and whites sit together. Mm. I mean, he was to that point. I saw a bunch of white kids coming out of the store, you know, doing some rap songs, and I was like, there goes Sam. Mm. There goes Sam again.
Wow.
So that's why I say he's the greatest R&B singer.
Yes.
You know.
And you took it back, and that's right. Okay.
So it's hard to say, you know, because it's
artist
subjective. I don't know. I haven't heard the, I probably have heard the dude's stuff, though. He probably nice. But to get in it at first and say you're the best is probably a good way to get attention on social media. I think it's smart.
Yeah,
you know, start this whole thing around you.
And that's
and then it's like, wow, you know, wow, all this heat is around this dude.
That's exactly what's happening.
And ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's why we need a living color back. Yeah. You know, so that I'm
the best comedian.
Uh-huh. Yes, you are.
Yeah, so let's see what happens.
That's right. And since, you know, the best comedian is here in town in Chicago.
There you go, go.
Okay? And you definitely want to go and check him out at Chicago Improv tonight. What time is that, Mr. Tommy Davis?
8:10.
And tomorrow night.
8:10 to.
I would love to see you in the building. And if you're not, well, you know, you better just.
And that's your fault. Your fault. Your fault. So come out to Schaumburg to the improv this week. And happy Christmas. Very, very merry. Very, very merry Christmas.
Ha! In a happy new year.
Bow down.
Yes.
Woo!
All right. So we'll see you tonight and tomorrow night. I want to thank you so much for sitting here with me, sharing your knowledge.
This knowledge man, of self.
I'm telling you, this goes
knowledge
down,
of self.
This goes down in history. You are, to me, a legend. You are.
Thank you.
You are a legend. And I'm looking forward to any work that you have coming in the future.
It's coming.
You know, it's a booty coming. Call part 2.
And I'd like that.
You know, hello. Hello. You know, so we're here for Mr. Tommy Davidson. He's over here. He's checking out court shows.
Yeah, I'm like looking back.
Yeah, he's looking for Vivica.
I love TV.
Vivica has a new show going on.
Yeah, she's gone. It's called Face the Facts.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, Face the Facts. Something
it's
like
called
that.
Face the Facts
because of her face. I'm just
no. I didn't say that. Yo, you said that.
All right, guys. We signing off. I want to thank you once again. This is Shypedia. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.